Everyone, this is Jim Phillips, your host of Prepare Without Fear, and I welcome you to this beautiful winter day wherever you may be across the country or around the world as you've joined us. I like sharing with you my passion for preparedness, which is the ability to meet the future without fear. If we're prepared at all levels, and that's spiritual and our attitude and our knowledge and having material things around us, you might recognize that as one of the principles that I teach. When you're prepared in all of those areas, then the future need not bear fear for you. So that's what we'll be doing today in our continuing series here. I appreciate Republic Broadcasting for what they do, and also would encourage you to go to the website and listen to the archive programs that we've been producing. This is a series. As I'm going through all the classes that I've done throughout the years, I do many of them live, but this gives me a forum to reach out to people over a broader area than I'm able to travel and do. So go back and listen to them. We're continuing today in part two of the winter injury avoidance. I like avoiding injury because it hurts, and I'm just not into pain, so we'll be talking further about that. Just to remind you, if you're new to us, that you can send your questions via email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. If you don't have access to the web, you can leave your voice messages toll-free at 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set, and leave your questions there. They'll be picked up by my staff, passed on to me, and I'll be sure that they get answered over time. If you'll remember, I talk about what I call the truth about life, that there's no doubt that tomorrow will come and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. And I do believe that's the way that it works. And that's why we talk about facing the future without fear by becoming prepared. This idea of winter and cold weather. You know, I was talking to some people the other day. I'd been doing a little presentation, and I had some folks simply say, you know, I just hate winter. And I said, well, what do you hate about it? Well, so I hate being cold. I said, well, I agree. If that's all that winter was about, was being cold, I guess I wouldn't like it either. But as I sit here in my office looking out my window with the snow and the clouds and the mountains and, the leaves are off the trees, and it's a different time of the year, and it's a beautiful time of the year. Now, I guess if you're in Florida or Southern California, maybe you don't relate if you haven't traveled out of the area. But I love the changing of the seasons, but I do agree with the concept that if you're out there and you're not prepared for it, or if in your house and your house is no longer warm because the utilities are off, winter is something that's not only threatening, it can be very, very unpleasant. You remember this concept I've presented before about cold weather and winter. It can be a serious hazard, but here's the idea. If you know how to swim, it doesn't matter how deep the water is. Well, if you know how to stay warm, it doesn't make any difference how cold it is. Please go back and listen to previous programs on the clothing and how to make the clothing. We won't talk about that here, but that's how you avoid the winter injury. That's how you can be at home without utilities when you have proper clothing. It doesn't make any difference if your house gets cold because your house doesn't care that it's cold, or in your vehicle or in your tent or if you're just outside, clothing is your personal portable shelter. But let's say that things haven't gone correctly. You've got yourself in trouble. And by the way, if you've been with us on the program, you know that I usually start with a review of some things, but I do it differently every now and then to keep us all from getting bored. I'll come back to those principles at the end of this program. But let's continue. Last week, we were talking about cold weather injuries, and the one in particular that we went through was hypothermia, which is so critical to understand. A few moments of review on that, and then into the other injuries, how to avoid them, and other things that will help you with cold weather emergencies. We'll continue with this thought right after this break.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up at 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips on this beautiful winter day as we approach the new year. And love seeing new years come because that means there's more ahead of us. And the future is a wonderful thing, no matter what it may bring, if you're prepared for it, to march into difficulties that may come. I like to call them challenges rather than problems, because that sets us up to have the right attitude to face these things. Well, we're talking about cold weather and winter injury avoidance. The big thing we talked about last week, spent a lot of time on it, is hypothermia, because hypothermia is the single most threatening thing that you may face in cool or cold weather. Of course, the point that I made was it does not have to be below freezing or below zero to be threatened by hypothermia. 40 degrees in the wind, in a rainstorm, just out there in just regular old clothing getting drenched and you can't get out of it, that is hazardous. So just cold water immersion. You fall into a stream or a river or a lake and the water is 60 degrees. You don't have a real long period of time to stay in that water before you're in hypothermia, and it can become life-threatening even when the air temperatures are quite warm. Well, the other injury that we hear a great deal about, of course, is frostbite. And what is frostbite? Frostbite is just, it's a simple thing. It's frozen flesh. And if you have frozen flesh on your warm body someplace, that's just not a good idea. It's a very, very simple thing to understand, and it's also something that's very simple to avoid if you do things properly. The causes of frostbite is simply where you have flesh that's either exposed directly to the air, it may be inside of clothing that is not insulating well enough, it may become wet, the clothing becomes wet or damp, the insulation value is very low, the clothing may have ice in it, all those kinds of things, and you can be exposed to the potential for frostbite. Cold moving air, when the air is, you know, zero and below and you're outside in the wind, exposed flesh can freeze very, very quickly. So watching out for ears and cheeks and nose and fingers all become very, very important. Is frostbite life-threatening? Well, it can be. Depends on how much, how long, where it is, and it's the aftermath of frostbite that can be the real problem. So the general treatment is to simply, rewarm in a warm bath, water bath, the part that is frozen. Now, by the way, having gone through frostbite and things like that, if you haven't done this before, this is really painful when things are coming back to life, because one of the symptoms of the frostbitten area is that you won't be able to feel it while it's frozen. It's numb, and it doesn't hurt. But when it's waking up, boy, does it ever hurt. Very, very painful thing to do, but it's simply part of the price that you would have to pay. It's to warm it up and warm water, not hot water. We're looking at something under 110 degrees, 106 to 109 degrees in that range would be ideal. Be careful that you don't rewarm it too fast, as you can have other kinds of damage that will occur. Here's one of those things about frostbite that I think I mentioned last week when we were talking about hypothermia. I saw this recently in an old movie, you know, one of these movies out of the 30s, and they were skiing or something, and there's the pretty girl, and she's down, and she's like, you know, been hurt and cold and something, and the star of the movie comes up, and here's this gal that's down in the snow, and she has these hands that are in miserable shape, and so he grabs up a handful of snow and rubs on it. You know, you've heard this. It's a wives' tale. It's one of the wives' tales I talked about weeks ago. Rub snow on frostbite or numb areas of the body. Now, I think I was probably 4 years old when I figured out that was a dumb idea. Here you have something that's cold. Here you have something that may be numb. Here you have something that's frozen on your body. And you have this thing about, well, let's take snow and rub on it. That doesn't make sense. Why do we have wives' tales like that? Part of what we want to do in this program is give you an understanding of how and why things work, and even where some of this bad information has come from. Took me a while to track that one down and figure out who in the world in their right mind would ever suggest that you should put ice or snow on a frozen part of the body, on a part of the body that's numb. Well, it goes back to the Napoleonic Wars. And when Napoleon was crossing through parts of the mountain ranges, and you know that the winter devastated his armies. By the way, that's happened at other times out there. We lose more soldiers to the weather and to the cold and to frostbite and hypothermia and dehydration and those things than we do to the actual battle itself when people are fighting in those cold areas. And he lost thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers to the cold. Well, one of the things that the surgeons, you know, this is back many years ago, they didn't have an understanding of infection and how the body worked, all these things. But one of the things they noticed was that after frostbite had occurred and then it's warmed up, what sets in? Infection. They become septic. And this is what the surgeons discovered, was that if you had a frostbitten part of the body, like a hand or a foot or a leg or an arm, that had become septic, if you remove the caloric from it, calorie, heat from it, by putting it in snow or in particular in snow or ice, that it would stop the spread of the infection. That's the genesis for this idea of rubbing snow on a frostbitten area. It doesn't have anything to do with the direct frostbite. It's the aftermath of the frostbite. And the surgeons and the medical people at that time discovered that by refreezing it, if you will, by chilling it, you stop the spread of the infection. Well, we understand how that works now. Well, that somehow got translated into or misunderstood from some of the writings of these people as it, through the years, that it was twisted into put snow or ice on frostbite. That's how we end up with some of these wives' tales and some of these things that people kind of accept as being true, but just don't have anything to do with reality. It's kind of like the old statement, if you go back to the clothing class that I talked about, where the statement is made, a wives' tale, by the way, that wool is the best thing to wear because it's warm when wet. Well, that's true if you understand the limits on it. Wool is not the best thing to wear because it is warm when wet when you compare it to the synthetics. If you compare it to down and cotton, it's absolutely true. Wool is so much better. But you see how the wives' tale is? You take something that's true in one area for a situation, then you expand it as though it's a universal truth. That's what we call a wives' tale. So there's where this idea came from about rubbing snow on frostbite. Don't do that. It's not a smart idea for two reasons. One of them is, first off, it's going to keep it frozen. And then secondly, that by rubbing these ice crystals on skin and areas that have been damaged and frozen, particularly if they're thawing out, they're really tender. They're very weak. They've been damaged. And you're going to tear up the skin and the flesh and do further damage. We'll talk more about the real treatment for frostbite in a moment. Well, prevention is the key. Perhaps if you remember from last week's program, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to that on hypothermia. You understand that when we talk about hypothermia, that's the depressed core temperature. Now, the core, as I want you to learn to define it, is not just down inside of the little organs right inside of the body. It's everything from the top of your head to the middle of your thighs, excluding the lower legs and, of course, your arms and hands. Everything else is core. And it's important that you take care of the core. Now, the body, to protect the core, and, of course, the internal organs in the brain, as it begins to become a little bit chilled, it starts to withdraw the blood supply. What it does is it constricts the blood supply traveling to the fingers, toes, hands, feet, arms, and legs. And the cooler that the internal temperatures start to drop, the more it wants to restrict the blood supply so that it keeps the core warm. Well, what does that tell you about hypothermia's effect on frostbite? One of the things that will hasten the onset or absolutely just bring it on right now is as the core is becoming chilled and the circulation to the extremities is being withdrawn, then you now have less heat in your fingers and toes, arms and legs to keep the flesh from freezing, and freezing of the flesh comes on. So part of the prevention of frostbite is to keep the extremities warm by keeping the core warm, and of course that means you have to have adequate insulation over the entire body. As you begin to shiver, as you become chilled in the core, the blood supply of those extremities is reduced. You're much more susceptible. And for you that have charge over little people, we call them children, when you're responsible for them, and when children are shivering when they're cold, they're much, much more susceptible to deepening hypothermia, but also to frostbite in their extremities. And the thing that they may not appreciate or understand or be able to communicate to you properly is that's like, I can't feel my feet anymore. They've gone numb. They don't understand that concept. They haven't been around. So they just know that, like, hey, this is pretty good. I don't hurt anymore. You've got a serious problem. You must watch out for children very, very carefully because they do not know how to communicate some of these things. They may not understand it. The same can also be said for other people, and I'll say the elderly in particular, where they already have circulation that's been damaged just through the years. As we age, that has a tendency to occur. And they may not notice this onset, too, particularly if they're focused on the fact that they're shivering and they're cold elsewhere. That's what's taking their attention, and they do not notice that their hands and feet slip into no feeling and no pain. They're enjoying the fact that they don't hurt, and they may not communicate, hey, I think we have a problem here. So watch out for people over whom you have stewardship to be sure they're not getting into trouble. Now let's recognize a little further the symptoms of frostbite, so you recognize it. There's actually kind of three levels of what would fall into the area we call frostbite. The first one is frost nip, and it's where nothing is actually frozen. It's just about becoming numb. Most people, I'm willing to bet, have experienced what we call frost nip. You've got your fingers or your toes so cold that you can't feel them anymore, and then you warm them up, and boy, you kind of wish they were numb again because it hurts so badly as those nerves are coming back to life. Frost nip is not threatening. There's no tissue loss, and there may be little or no after effects once you have recovered from that. So we'll continue more on frostbite and treatment and recognition of it right after this break, so you can avoid winter injuries of all types and live safely, play safely in the cold and in the winter.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips. If you have any questions that you'd like to have answered in coming programs, please email them to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or you can call toll-free to 800-U-GET-SET. That's 800, the letter U, get set. Leave your messages there. We'll be glad to assist you, be sure questions get answered. Also, if you have other needs, let us know what they are, and the staff will be able to help you with those things. One of the other things I like to encourage people to do is we produce a series of DVDs, and there's one of them that you can get. That's the first of one in the what I call the foundation DVD in the set that is 2 hours of principle-based instruction covering many of the things we've covered in the past and some of the things we review here. It's available to you for the cost of delivering it to you for $5.50. We want to get people started in the proper way to prepare, the correct way to both look at things and how to go forward so that the future will not threaten you. Well, back on our cold weather injury avoidance, this concept of frostbite, this problem of frostbite. Remember, there's kind of like three levels of it. Frostnip is just where you've lost the sensation. Now, nerves will stop transmitting impulses as they get cold. Now, they get down to where they're starting to hurt, and then that hurt turns off. It's somewhere around, it'll depend on the individual. It'll be maybe around 38 degrees or so where you just no longer have sensation of heat, cold, pain, or anything else. Maybe a little colder for some people, maybe a little warmer for other people, but someplace in that 36, 38, 40 degree range, you no longer feel pain. That should, of course, be an obvious symptom or a sign that says, hey, something's going on here and it's not good. Because when you lose sensation, that simply means that you're approaching a point where the water in the cells will freeze, which forms crystals. And those little crystals, you understand that when water freezes, turns into a solid, it expands. And it also can grow little crystals that are sharp, like little bits of broken glass. And what happens is we start stretching the cell walls and we start poking holes through the walls of the cell. And this is not a good idea. We're damaging cells. Some of them will recover. Some of them can repair. If they're treated properly, if they're given all the things that they need, the body has an amazing ability to repair some damage. But too much damage for too long, repeated damage, it becomes permanent. Well, that's the next thing that happens as the temperature of the flesh on your finger, your toe, your cheek, your ear, your nose, or whatever it is it passes through frostnip where you lose sensation. Now it moves down to where it begins to literally freeze. And if since, of course, the freezing is going on from the outside, it begins on the outside. It's this the surface of the skin, and the first layers of the skin will begin to freeze. And this is superficial frostbite. We have partial thickness of the skin that may be frozen. Now, how can you tell besides it's now numb? Well, one thing is that it will turn white or kind of waxy in color, and it will no longer blanch. Now, if you take a look at, let's go back to frostnip for a moment. Let's say you have an area that is numb, you can't feel it, and let's say that it's on the back of your hand and you were to press down, take your finger off, you'll notice, in fact, if you do it right now, you push down on the skin, you notice it gets kind of lighter in color, it'll blanch, or fingernail. If you have darker skin, you can press on a fingernail on there and you'll see that the color will change through the fingernail, and that'll tell you that it's not frozen. Of course, it's also not hard, but it'll still blanch. That's what we mean by blanching. When it is frostbitten, it no longer blanches anymore. It's numb, and it's white or waxy in color. Now, after the rewarming and after the thawing of it, blisters may form. In fact, it'll look just like you touch something hot. You'll have a blister that'll fill up with water, and it's all tender and just like you've had other kinds of blisters. The skin may be kind of red, mottled, or purplish in color. There can be some skin loss. Again, with the blisters, it may occur. And the new skin very often will be very sensitive to heat and cold. It may even perspire excessively in the future. But one of the things you can say about frostbite is once you've been frostbitten, you are more sensitive to pain in that area usually, and you're more sensitive to or more likely to refreeze the area because what's happened is you've caused kind of internal scarring. There's been damage to the little blood vessels and capillaries and tissues and those things. They've been injured, and there's some internal scarring, which means that you're more susceptible to injury in the future. Now, then, the next level of frostbite is we would call it deep frostbite, and that's where the full thickness of the skin has been frozen, and it can move right down into where the underlying structures, whether it be the muscle in the flesh or bones and tendons, and, of course, ultimately to some organs, and this would be a real problem. Now, deep frostbite will usually be kind of a blue-gray. It may be mottled in color. The area will just be hard. Now, I've had superficial frostbite in a number of areas, and you have kind of like it's like a quarter-size thing that you press on it, and you got this hard thing on the surface, but the underlying flesh, you know, is still flexible. That's a weird sensation. But if you have deep frostbite, you can have whole fingers, toes, hands, feet, legs, arms that they're literally stiff. They have become frozen like a frozen fish in your freezer. They will not flex. They will not move. That's a very disconcerting feeling to see something that doesn't move, looks funny, has no sensation, but yet it's still attached to you. Now, we're going to talk about what you do about it and how it is that you keep from losing fingers and toes and hands and feet. If you do everything right, there's a chance it can be saved right after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful winter day, talking about cold weather injury avoidance, understanding the symptoms, recognizing what some of these things may be early on so that you don't go there, because the results can be not only painful, they can, in fact, be hazardous. Well, we're talking about deep frostbite. A part of your extremities, it's usually your fingers, your toes, it can be hands and feet, that may be frozen very deeply. Now, other areas that are very susceptible are your ears, because they kind of stick out there in the wind if you're letting the wind blow them. Now, they're easy to protect just by having a hat or a cap and hood that pulls them back to your head where the warmth is. But if somehow it's become uncovered, ears can become frozen superficially, usually, quite easily. The other thing is the tip of your nose, again, because it kind of sticks out. And if it's cold and the wind is blowing, that end of the nose is easily frostbitten. I've done that one along with the ears. And then your cheeks is another place, again, where they're kind of exposed to the wind out there. I've also frostbitten, toes. I've never had anything that's extremely deep because you recognize the issue and you get on it quickly, but you can get yourself in trouble if you're not careful. Now, suppose you've had a very severe frostbite, a very deep frostbite. Again, you have an extremity, a finger, a toe, a foot, a hand that is stiff. It doesn't move. You have no feeling. It's kind of a blue-gray. It's usually mottled in color. Even after it warms up, that mottling may stay. Circulation has been damaged severely. That's one of the problems. As things are recovering, there may be or may not be blisters that will form. They may or may not form. Depends on how the recovery goes. There will certainly be, after a while, a line of demarcation between what is the live tissue and what would be dead tissue. And you may have seen pictures of this where fingers or toes, these turn black, and they're usually desiccated. They're kind of shriveled and black. And eventually, if nothing is done to treat them, as long as infection doesn't set in, there will be spontaneous amputation. The body will literally allow those areas to slough off and fall off. And the body has amazing ability to survive. Now, of course, the best thing to do is let's don't go there. Let's don't let these things happen. Let's talk about treating frostbite. The first and best treatment for frostbite and for hypothermia is absolutely prevention. That's what it's all about. That's why the previous programs we've talked about, that's why the clothing and all the things we do not allow yourself to get in that kind of trouble. One of the things I do want to point out that's very important, remember last week when we talked about hypothermia and the effects of alcohol? Alcohol has the sensation of making you feel warm, but that can be an absolutely deadly thing that occurs. Listen to that previous program. You must understand, somebody who's in, significant, moderate, deep hypothermia, do not give them alcohol. There's a high probability it will kill them when you do that. You'll understand why by listening to last week's program. Here's one to deal with in the frostbite area that's important. If you're under a lot of stress and you've had pain and you have something that's, frozen or about to freeze, and if somebody's a smoker, you have this kind of this pressure, and so what's the habit? Well, it's to light up and smoke. Let's don't do that. That may be something that's a habit that helps you, quote-unquote, calm your nerves or gives you something to do or distracts you away. It's very important that you have somebody who is on the verge of frostbite or already has frostbite in some areas. Do not allow them to smoke, because the tobacco, and now this is not just smoking, this would be chewing or consuming tobacco products in any form, because some of the chemicals in the tobacco are vasoconstrictors. Remember how alcohol is a vasodilator, a vasorelaxer? Well, tobacco is just absolutely the opposite. I was doing a program. I was called in to teach a Northern Power Company, all of their personnel throughout their entire system, and I went around doing classes, and I remember I was in there talking about these things and prevention. And I got to this point, and the guy says, hey, wait a minute. He says, listen, he says, then what I ought to do is when I'm under this stress and I'm hurting and hypothermia, frostbite, and those things, what you need to do is drink alcohol and smoke at the same time, and that'll kind of counteract each other. And it's like, no, don't go there. It doesn't really work that way. They're not going to negate each other and make it a no effect. Their effects will still be felt, and it will be hazardous. So please understand that tobacco in all of its forms will constrict blood supply to extremities that may be threatened already and worsen the problem or cause an onset. Okay? When you're dealing with frostbite, you're also always, 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 except in very rare cases, I guess I could say, you're going to be dealing with hypothermia at the same time. Now, there's kinds of flash freezing that I'll talk about here in a moment where you may have a totally warm core and there's been something else that's causing you to quickly freeze an extremity or skin or things like that. So, but if you're out in the cold and you're out in the environment and you become a little bit chilled and you have frostbite at the same time, then you must understand you're dealing with hypothermia also, and you must treat for hypothermia. I'll tell you something else you're almost always dealing with, and that is dehydration, and you must rehydrate people. We're going to talk about dehydration and proper hydration extensively later on in this program, but just keep that in mind if you're taking notes. Always treat for hypothermia and dehydration at the same time you're dealing with frostbite, because they're going to be there except in very unusual circumstances. And let me tell you a little bit of a story to understand how important it is. I'll kind of set this up. No, I'm going to save it for later. I'll do that a little bit later about this experience that I had years ago when we start talking about the dehydration. The other thing that you're going to do is when you're treating for frostbite and the hypothermia that probably is accompanying it, you want to remove wet and constrictive clothing, mittens, boots, and socks. Part of what happens that may bring on the onset of frostbite is that if you've tried to do what we did years ago, this was back in the late 50s and early 60s when my dad and I were snow camping and winter camping out there, and you take your boots that you had, your summer hiking boots, and you'd put on three or four pairs of socks and you'd jam them down inside of that boot, you know, thinking, I have more socks on, so I ought to be warm. It doesn't really work that way, because what is it that gives you the insulation? It's, you know, it's air, trapped stabilized air. Well, you may have had a puffy sock, but by the time you shove it down in your boot, it's not only is you have the air squeezed out of it, you've also squeezed the blood out of your feet. Same thing about your fingers and toes and anything else. So things that are tight and restrictive are going to hinder circulation. You want to have things that I'll say are loose-fitting. I don't mean floppy and baggy, but I mean where they're not restrictive. So if you have cold, if you have wet, cold, constrictive clothing, you need to remove it. Of course, you need to remove it in a place where you can get things warm or have something else to put on. Now, frostnip can be safely treated with just simple passive external rewarming. Just getting things that are warm and dry on it, better fitting, better insulating gear over top of it, it'll probably come back. Now, how do you add some heat to an area that may be frostnipped first with, or maybe superficial frostbite? Well, you can use your own armpit. If you, you've probably already done that, all of you. Got cold fingers that are really starting to hurt, what do? You shove them inside your coat under your armpit. Now, the disadvantage of doing that usually is now you have to unzip your coat and you got it kind of open and you're dumping a bunch of core heat out, but you are recovering your fingers a little bit. You may use somebody, you may be able to get up underneath your coat or slip it into a place. Try and do it in a way that you're not losing a lot of heat for the core, because you may be on the verge of or in the midst of some level of hypothermia at the same time. You might be able to use somebody else's, okay, armpit, maybe not, but how about their stomach? You know, the stomach is a large surface area. That's a great place to rewarm some hands, but it's also a good place to rewarm feet. Now, in order to uncover somebody's stomach, you probably need to be in shelter. You may be in some bedding, covered up a little bit, so that you open up the individual's clothing and bare a little bit of skin that's in there, so you can take this cold foot and put it on that stomach and rewarm it. Now, this is if you're dealing with frostnip or superficial frostbite. When you get into very deep frostbite, we've got to look at that a little bit differently, how we're going to handle that. You can also be careful about using fire and heat that's right, especially fire, a hot stove, a campfire, something like that. First off, let's say that you have this numb hand that you can't feel, and let's say that you have some superficial frostbite on it, and you see that, and you've got a fire. And you're going like, man, I got to thaw this thing out now. So you take your mitten or your glove off and you get it around the fire. You can't tell how hot it is. You cannot tell how hot that flesh is becoming. And too rapid a rewarming can cause just as much. You can cook the flesh. You can hurt yourself even further. You don't want to do that. So be extremely careful. Avoid fire. Direct contact with anything that would be very, very hot. We want to do the rewarming process at under 110 degrees, generally speaking. The other thing is, if you have a cold hand inside, let's say you have a numb hand inside of a mitten, you can't feel it, and now then you start hanging that around the fire or touching things that are really hot or getting them in the flames, you start destroying clothing, you burn holes in things, not to mention you may do damage to the underlying tissue. So you have to be extremely careful when you're dealing with fires, stoves, any kind of very hot surfaces, because they can cause further damage, more extensive damage, as well as damage equipment. Now, let's talk about deep frostbite for a moment, particularly if we're talking about feet. And this is one that's fairly common because the footwear that's out there that people use in the extreme cold, most of it is like poor, to say the least, and some of it's just downright dismal. That's why we make our own clothing, teach people to do that, why we're going into production with things that will truly take care of you at 40 and 50 below zero with low activity, and they'll do it for days and weeks on end. Been there, done that, so I know that it will, in fact, do it, and we've helped hundreds of other people enjoy that. So the feet, because of the furthest from the heart, the feet have lower sensation usually than other parts of the body. You don't notice them getting cold as early. They're just a little more susceptible to frostbite because the footwear isn't any good. And now you find just like, and you've been distracted because you've been hiking, climbing, working, whatever you have been, or you've been in pain elsewhere. You didn't notice your feet go numb. And now then you notice like, gee, I don't think I can wiggle my toes. I can't feel them. And let's suppose that it has gotten to be extremely severe, as it has with some, you know, mountain climbers and people that are out there. And you have a foot that is literally frozen. It is solid as a block of wood. If you're in the field, and if there's any chance that you can get back to help, then you leave it frozen. This is something that will take a real concentration of your energy and your focus is you do not want to be thawing that thing out in the field. It is best rewarmed, thawed, and treated in the hospital. Any kind of deep frostbite is better served by getting to the hospital, by getting to medical help, if there's any way that you can do that. And be very, very reticent, you know, reluctant to try and thaw things out while you're in the field. This is especially true of the feet, especially if you have to extricate yourself from the situation. Let's say you've got yourself caught in an accident someplace, snowmobile, snowcat, downed plane, stuck car up some deserted road, and there you are, and nobody knows where you are. It's going to take you days to get out, and somehow in the midst of this, you froze one or both of your feet, and they're solid. Do not thaw them out. If it gets warm or you get a fire going and you have an opportunity to thaw them out, you're better off leaving them frozen until you can get out of there. Because here's what happens. While that extremity, while that foot in particular is frozen, you can walk on it, and you're not going to be doing a lot of damage to it. It's frozen. It's hard. Once you have thawed out the flesh is very tender. The flesh is very soft. The flesh can easily be damaged by rubbing, by pressing on it, by tearing at it. The flesh is now weak, and it's much more susceptible to being injured. And once you injure the skin and break the skin, now you're more susceptible to infection. You've got all kinds of problems. Now, this is, you know, I'm talking about something that's very severe, but I'm telling you kind of the how bad it can be, but how you have to think outside the box. In the frostbite situation like this, think outside the box. The immediate thing is I want my foot back. I want to feel it. I want to see it move. I want to know that I've got that thing. Therefore, I want to thaw it out right now. You are now a litter case. You will not be able to walk on that foot. You will be in so much pain, you'll be doing so much damage that you cannot transport yourself. You will have to be carried out of where you are. You're better off leaving it frozen. Get the help and let them treat it. Because here's the thing. Once it's been frozen and then thawed, it's much more susceptible to refreezing because the circulation has been hurt so much. And if you ever have an extremity or part that's frozen and thawed, it is dead, it's gone, it will not be recovered, there's nothing that can be done about it. But if it's been frozen once, you have a chance that part or maybe all of it can be recovered in the hospital with proper treatment, proper thawing. You may get it back, and all of the cells may not be dead, the body may recover. So, just think about that, keep this in mind. Should you ever find yourself in that situation. Of course, my recommendation is do the things up front so it does not occur. Partial or very slow rewarming also negates some of the benefits of rapid rewarming. That's when we talk about rewarming. It likes to be in temperatures that are under 110 degrees, that, you know, 100 degrees, 106, 108, somewhere in that range, preferably like in a whirlpool bath where you have some moving water, and rewarm them quickly. Now, the other thing about being in a hospital where you have medical treatment is this can be extremely painful, and pain control will be really, really useful because you will not enjoy the process. True frostbite, best treated in the hospital, is going to be rapidly rewarmed in bath or whirlpools, as I said, around 106 degrees. The extremities will be elevated. Sterile sheets and protective cradles will be used. Blisters should be left intact, again, because the skin and the fluid that's under the skin is protecting it from infection. And infection is the real issue. Remember when I talked about this thing earlier about the Napoleonic Wars and removing the caloric from something that was frostbitten when it becomes septic, when it's become infected? That's what the real hazard to frostbite is. Yes, freezing an extremity, losing a finger or a toe, that's an unpleasant thing to do, inconvenient, but that is not the thing that is so life-threatening. The life-threatening thing comes from the fact that if it becomes infected and what you have is dead flesh that's still attached to you, and if it gets warm and it gets, you know, bacteria and things growing in it, you have all kinds of infections, one of the worst of all, of course, being gangrene that can set in, and that can kill you. That was the one thing in particular they were talking about with gangrene. If they would freeze that leg or that extremity that had been frostbitten, once it's thawed out, they could stop the spread of the gangrene. And that's, again, where that idea of rubbing snow on it came from. Well, you can use, of course, oral aspirin. There are other things that can be used, some of them natural. Aloe vera juice and salves may help with skin repair, as well as some silver compounds, things like that, to keep down infection and speed the healing. But surgery may be necessary. That's why you want to be at a hospital. We'll talk to you more about frostbite and cold injuries right after this break.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips wishing you a wonderful winter day wherever you may be, and of course, the best for the coming new year. Now, if you have questions again, you can send them to AskJim@PrepareMyFamily.com, or you can leave a voice message toll-free at 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set, and we'll be receiving those questions and get them answered. I've been receiving them along, and I weave them in to the programs as we go along. All right. We have been talking about frostbite and treatment of frostbite, recognizing it, how to reduce the amount of damage. And if you have very significant damage, that's why getting to the hospital is important, because there's a reasonably good chance with the technology we have, the methods we have, that you may not lose all of the finger, the toe, the foot, if you've gotten it to the hospital and allowed them to rewarm it. Once again, if it freezes, thaws, it's going to be lost. Just deal with it. I mean, I'll say that's going to be okay. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it will is going to be. So do your best to protect those things from improper re-thawing, or I should say improper thawing and then refreezing, because that's very, very hazardous. Let's talk about some special cases in frostbite. You know, we normally think about frostbite, you're out there in the cold, and you're cold, and your feet are wet, and all those kinds of things, and it gets colder and colder, and you do it. But there are some kind of special cases where hypothermia may not be involved in it. Now, one of them is, I tell stories about me, you know, you kind of laugh about yourself, some of the silly situations you find yourself in. This would be, the fifth grade in elementary school. This is Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I lived at the time, out at recess in the winter. Now, it's been, I don't know, it's January, the snow has been coming and blowing and sticking on to things out there. You're a young kid, you're outside running around in the schoolyard, and you didn't drink before you went out because you're anxious to get outside, so you're thirsty and you're running around, you're eating some snow and things like that. Well, the snow on the ground is kind of getting dirty, and it's hard to find a place where it hasn't been tromped on, and I'm thirsty and I want something to drink. And here it comes. You can see it coming, I'm sure. As we're getting to the end of the recess, I'm going like, oh, man, I am so thirsty. And I look over there, and there's this metal flagpole that has snow blown up against it, impacted on it. And I'm like, oh, clean snow. It doesn't have dirt in it. It doesn't have footprints in it. So I go up to this flagpole, and I'm going to lick some snow off the flagpole. Now, this is really a dumb idea, come to think about it. But I didn't realize it at the time. So if you're going to lick it off, don't lick all the way through the snow. I didn't understand that concept. So I licked all the way through the snow to get as much as I could. And, of course, there's my nice, warm, moist tongue. And I nailed that thing to the side of the flagpole, stuck that thing on there. Now, here's the really funny part. Just as I did that, the recess bell rings. You know, you got like 5 minutes to be back in and in your seat. So I'm out there with my tongue stuck to this flagpole at the end of recess, and all my friends run off and leave me out there. You know, nice guys. Well, you know what happens when you pull your tongue off a flagpole like that? You rip out some of those taste buds. They look like little kernels of corn upside down in there, and you also bleed like a stuck pig. I went back in there, blood running out of my mouth from my tongue that was all ripped up. Boy, did that hurt for a while. Don't put wet, warm flesh on cold metal. We'll talk more about that after this break and how you prevent those kinds of things from happening besides just keeping your tongue inside your mouth. So funny things that happen, but you learn from them. I'll share more with you right after this break.
Since 19... 19-